Tegu stood her ground. Now she hits her backhand long, and it's break point. Goff, some big, big hitting for the American at the moment.
Well, she is finding some pressure on the Swiatek serve now in successive service games. She needs to make that pressure count. The crowd are willing her on.
Break point to get us back on serve in this first set. Live on Radio Roland Garros as Swiatek nets off the first serve. She's looking to head down the tee to attack the Goff forehand. Touches a peak of her baseball cap. Goes the forehand again. The forehand is leathered back by Goff, who then overhits the follow-up.
She just waves her arms as if to say, oh, forget about that. Forget about that. She needs to forget about it. That was an opportunity. It was a chance. She had the forehand. Just tried to do too much with it. And that's a measure, I think, of the pressure that Swiatek puts on you. She makes you hit the best ball you can.
And even that is not always good enough. Forehand down the line from Swiatek, and that is long and off balance from Goff on the backhand, who looks up to her box in frustration, and from break point down, it's game point.
Again, just a few words of frustration from Goff. Needs Perrier when you have Stefan.
Forehand sits short. Swiatek attacks. The forehand is there from Goff. It clips top of the net. It allows Swiatek to settle. She's attacking the forehand now. The half volley from the pole. And another volley from the pole. And Coco Gauff should say thank you very much. And she does so.
Much better play from Coco Gauff. Aggression with purpose. They're coming forward. Leaving Swiatek having to play patter cake at the net, and the pickup forehand volley from Swiatek not quite good enough. Coco Gauff was poised to attack it, and so she did.
Block back, pop back, sits deep. Game point. Now, I don't know much about him, but in the boys' competition on the theme of Italian tennis doing quite well, Lorenzo Carboni from Italy has knocked out the top seed, Rei Sakamoto from Japan, 6-4 in the third to reach the semi-finals. It's infectious, isn't it?
It's a feel-good factor that's working its way all the way through men's tennis, women's tennis, junior tennis.
Not happy with the ball toss there. Swiatek resets. You had the big apology. Goff moves slightly to the side, and it's the forehand that clips top of the net. Slows down for Swiatek to play the very deep inside-out forehand. Then she goes big on the backhand. Squash up by Goff. Brings Goff forward. It goes inside-out. Goff pulls up the high ball. Oh, she finds it. Absolutely finds it.
Well, I'm just waiting to watch the replay there to see if Swiatek chose to leave that ball. It's quite hard from our position to judge quite how high the ball is over a player's head, but actually Swiatek was ready to hit that, and instead it fell just behind her. Beautiful play from Coco Gauff. She's in there, she's fighting, she's battling, pushing, try and get that break of serve back.
Look to go out wide to the Gauff forehand. It juiced 2-1 with the break. 21 minutes now on the match clock. Paolini, Ondrejeva to follow. Serve out wide. The forehand, well, it took off, and it's only just coming to a stop.
Profligate from Coco Gauff. Clearly, it's a good serve from Iga Swiatek, but in this game alone, we've seen opportunities go begging, and sometimes break points are saved, and sometimes they're missed. And that one was missed.
Game point for 3-1. Swiatek serves deep. It goes wide. Had to save a break point. Does save a break point. 3-1 she leads. And how about this for a bit of promotion for us? I just put out a little social media message to say, hey, we're here and we're doing the match. That's great. Courtney Nguyen, member of the Radio Roland Garros team, has said, bring your grape scissors and griddle your chicken and waffles with Gigi and Eleanor on the call. Well, I would say no to griddling chicken and waffles.
But you can bring your grape scissors. They're very welcome. I haven't bought mine because I was a bit worried about getting them through customs.
Well, the fact you even thought about bringing them.
I have a travel pair.
Why?
In case I need them.
Well, just eat the grape. Why do you need a scissor? If I brought a bunch of grapes, you're telling me you'd whip out some scissors and snip a grape off?
I would, because it would really annoy you.
Backhand from Goff into the net on the stretch. It's 1-3. I think it would amuse me more than anything.
Very handy. You're not taking grapes one by one. You're taking a nice bunch.
But you can't. You can only eat them one by one.
So yes, but it's nothing worse when you come to a bunch of grapes that's shared and somebody's just pulled off the grapes and all you can see are the stems.
1-2 punch, wide serve, came in off the short return, cross court for the winner off the forehand side.
I can't believe we're having this conversation again.
It's Courtney's fault. She started it.
In the interest of...
She started it.
In the interest of collaboration, I will agree with you on the chicken and waffles. But we do love Courtney and we do miss her.
We do. 15-all serve out wide. Hits the top of the net from Goff and it goes wide. So she immediately turns her back on that ball. Just also let you know that the Tsitsipas, Petros and Stefanos Tsitsipas, are a set down in their men's doubles quarter final, but they are taking on Arevalo and Pavic, the ninth seeds, a very experienced doubles pair. And Alfie Hewitt lost in the semi-finals of the wheelchair men's singles today. But Takito Oda, the world number two, he is a set and 4-1 up, and Takuya Miki of Japan. Gustavo Fernandez beat Alfie Hewitt a little bit earlier. Double fault from Goff, break points for Świątek.
Well, Oda, I believe, is a defending champion here, having beaten Hewitt in the final last year. All of these players, remember, they will be looking not just for success here at Roland Garros in the tournament, but also, of course, in the Paralympics in a few weeks' time. On these very courts.
Serve deep, block back, break point for Świątek, who hits the off backhand winner, Coco Gauff. She gets the right way, Świątek. She could not get to it in time because it was hit so well by the American to save the first of the break points.
And that is what Coco Gauff needs to do. That was beautifully struck. It was well selected as well. Knew exactly what the goal was there, Coco Gauff, and delivered. Still a break point down, though.
A break down and a break point down. It's a second serve. Świątek, the fairly upright stance. She's looking menacing behind the baseline. Now she'll step onto the baseline, play the double-handed backhand to the feet and the backhand. Netted from Gauff, who slaps her thigh in frustration because she's now a double break and 4-1 down to the world number one.
You can feel this first set slipping away from Coco Gauff. She had those chances. She had that break point in Świątek's service game. And then she had a couple of juices, had opportunities, looked like she might be on the verge of breaking back. And when you miss those chances against somebody as ruthless as Iga Świątek, you will miss them and you will regret them. And so it has played out. Coco Gauff dropping her own serve again. And you feel that this first set may have slipped through her fingers. Still a long way to go, though. Lots more tennis to be played in this match.
I think you'd be really good at reading audiobooks, like suspense ones, because you've got quite a chilling voice at times.
Do you know what? That was one of those sentences that started out as a compliment, and the longer it went on, it moved away from compliment. And it veered towards insult.
No, it still is a compliment, because you'd have people sort of on the edge of their seats or listening to the books in the dark and switching the light on because suddenly they're worried that whatever's happening in the book might... I know it is a compliment. Slightly creepy, a bit aggressive, but wonderfully effective.
Thank you. I'll make a note of that for my CV.
Available to narrate suspense audiobooks.
Or maybe the true crime podcast that you like so much.
Oh, I love those. Cold cases. Cold case. Yeah. Listening to one at the moment. Very unusual. 4-1, served with a double break Now come on, for Świątek. As you said, she's a great front runner and she has the bit well and truly between her teeth.
Well, I think this first set might be a cold case. It's not looking as though Coco Gauff believes right now that she can find a way back into it. Świątek, as we said, an extraordinarily good front runner. We've talked, haven't we, about Iga's bakery, all those 6-love and 6-1 sets.
Forehand cross court on the angle from Gauff, a better angle from Świątek. Świątek redirects down the line. Gauff gets with a backhand cross court to the backhand down the line from Świątek. Forehand whipped cross court and deeper, flattened out from Świątek, who flattens out the forehand cross court again. They're thumping these forehands. It's redirected up the line. The stretch from Gauff, midcourt ball for Świątek to attack. Still, she defends Gauff. Inside the baseline is Świątek, who reaches behind it. The ball goes long and the head drops from Gauff.
So much right in that rally. So much right. And in the end, she just couldn't keep it up. And that's the question that Świątek asks of you. She will keep coming at you and keep coming at you. How much do you believe? How much can you cope with?
Gauff is looking to be and play aggressively. But does she have that belief to match the style with which she is playing against Iga Świątek, as everything has to fall in place? Świątek, as the sun breaks, reserves down the tee and the backhand is netted and the shoulders have slumped now from the American as we get 29 minutes on the clock and 40 love. Haven't had a love hold yet, on the verge of one here, and this would take Iga Świątek to 5-1.
Well, and my worry for Coco Gauff here is that I feel like the fires have been lit in Iga's bakery. Just warming the oven up, kneading the dough.
You see, there's that sort of sinister, slightly creepy voice that would work so well. Serve out wide, backhand cross court miss. It's a love hold, the first of the match, the first of the set. Iga Świątek eases her way to 5-1 in the first set.
Well, we haven't got a name on this email, but from Esfarat. Says, hello to my favourite Grand Slam radio team. Each year I have the same dilemma. I can't decide if I like the first week or the second week of Roland Garros better. Well, it's an interesting dilemma, but I'm glad that you're staying with us through this second week.
I'm definitely warmer in the second week. Forehand through the centre of the court. The off backhand. That's a beauty from Gauff. Stood her ground.
She's not going to want a 6-1 set, Coco Gauff, just for the sake of pride and needing to gain a bit of confidence here.
Yeah, she's inside the baseline. Again, she is trying to be aggressive with her style of play, but you've got to have the belief to go with that style of play. And there she held her ground. She capped herself inside the baseline. She took it to Świątek. But you have to do that again and again and again and again.
And that means playing outside of your comfort zone.
And when things don't go your way, retreating to how you would have played. You have to just keep going. Świątek on the baseline, plays the off backhand, runs back behind the baseline, but it's long from Gauff, and it's 30-15. So far on our winners unforced errors count, 14 unforced errors to 10 winners from Gauff and 5 unforced from Iga Świątek to just the 2 winners. Thirty-fifteen reaches up for the serve and serves down the tee. It's thundered back. And then it's the second time this match. Świątek is left standing as the ball shoots past her.
And the cry of come on from Coco Gauff, just trying to fire herself up a bit. As we said, the crowd will her on. They'll get behind her.
Takito Oda of Japan has booked his place in the men's wheelchair singles final, 6-1, 6-1 against his countryman. High ball, Gauff should deal with it. Yes, she does. Slam dunk from Coco Gauff. Holds to 15. But very surely Iga Świątek will step up to serve for the first set, leading by 5-2.
And the bakery burners have been turned down again. Turned off.
In terms of your bagel or your one.
In terms of this
In terms of cooking something. She's still firing on all cylinders.
Oh, there's no question about that.
What would be a pretzel? So you've got a bagel, a breadstick. What's a two? What could that be?
I'm not sure if that's a pretzel.
What would a two be in a bakery? Pretzel more like an eight, which would be
yeah, so pretzel's too curly for a two, isn't it?
Yeah, that wouldn't work, would it? Well, any suggestions for bakeries or things that you have in bakeries that Iga Świątek might be cooking up? The umbrellas are over the players because the sun is shining down. Philippe Chatrier is pretty much full. And we have the US Open champion against the defending Roland Garros champion.
Jonathan's emailed in about grape scissors.
Not you. Supporting them.
Oh. Empress, I completely agree with Lady E. Grape scissors are very useful for taking the stem of grapes from the bunch. As for Courtney's waffles, just awful. She is great on the WTA website interviews, though. I agree with you on both counts. Waffles awful, Courtney brilliant.
Yes, I'll go with that. No, waffles aren't awful. It's just when you put them with chicken. 5-2.
I draw the line well before pancakes with bacon, frankly.
Yeah, but you don't like potatoes.
I don't like sweet and savoury. There are no potatoes in pancakes and bacon.
No, but there's kind of stodgy, doughy things, I feel, aren't your cup of tea. Świątek gets the forehand through the middle of the court. Lofted long from Goff. He's just giving herself a little talking to at the back of the court.
Goff wearing this very pale, almost translucent, light grey pleated skirt. Black waistband, cream sleeveless top.
That pause from Świątek before she reaches up and serves deep. Forehand up the line, squash shot cross court from Świątek. The forehand cross court and deep from Goff. And she draws the error.
Set up by a wonderful rasping return from Coco Goff. We need to see a few more of those if Iga Świątek is going to start feeling in any way under pressure here.
Record in Grand Slam semi-finals, Iga Świątek, 1-4, lost 1. When she gets to the championship match, she is 4-0. Those ball boys nearly collided. Just avoided each other. 15 all, 5-2, 35 minutes on the clock. 3-4-5.
You're taking a pretty big risk to go out wide there to the forehand, that doubles-type return from the deuce court, because Federer's forehand is absolutely lethal.
Radio Roland-Garros.
Radio Roland-Garros. Quiet, please. Players are ready.
Day 13 at Roland Garros 2024. The sun is shining. The sky is blue. The crowds are enjoying themselves. They've been here since this morning watching the action unfold on the outside courts. We have four finals taking place today in the junior wheelchair competition. First time that Roland Garros has held a junior wheelchair competition. So we have the doubles and singles in both the boys and the girls taking place. We have semi-finals to be decided in the women's and men's doubles. We have the legends taking place. We have the quad wheelchair competition taking place. There is so much action around the grounds. And now the focus will fall on court Philippe Chatrier, where in just a matter of minutes, our first semi-finalists in the men's competition will make their way out. Carlos Alcaraz against Jannik Sinner for a ninth time. And that will be followed later by Sasha Zverev against Casper Ruud. And with you for this first semi-final, Stefan, as always, and myself, Gigi, alongside Antoine. How are you, Antoine?
I'm great. And you, Gigi?
I'm ready for today.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited about today. I'm intrigued. I'm not sure how it's going to turn out, but I think one thing is for sure, we're going to get a lot of great tennis.
The schedule today is just amazing. We're so lucky to be here. Two great matches, at least. Of course, maybe we'll go see if the doubles on Courseman Mathieu, that's going on right now. But we have two amazing singles today. It's just, I can't wait.
Well, I just like the smile on your face.
Oh, yeah.
As you're looking at the order of play, you're sort of smiling as you're reading those names.
Those players, you know, as we're going to start with Alcaraz and Sinner, then Zverev and Rude. It's always the same feeling during the semis. I feel like I'm so lucky to do this job. We are about to watch four amazing players. We don't know. Of course, there are maybe a bit of favorites here and there, but it's almost 50-50 on both matches. And maybe we're going to have great battles, you know, four or five sets. It's just amazing. The weather is amazing as well.
Oh, wow.
22, 23 degrees.
You're saying amazing a lot. That's a good start
to
the day.
I'm just so happy.
Just saying amazing. If we have about 10 minutes until the players come out. So if we sort of work backwards and start with Zverev against Casper Ruud, mm-hmm. a fifth meeting between the two. They've split those four meetings. It's a repeat of the semi-final last year when Casper Ruud came through very easily against Zverev. But Zverev, we have to remember, was 22 in the world, yet he was still working his way back from the ankle difficulties. And it's fascinating because I feel that despite picking Ruud and despite him winning Geneva at 250, no one's really spoken about him and he's just quietly gone about his business. But there is a lot of talk and expectation on Sasha Zverev, partly because he won Rome coming into Roland Garros.
And also, it's always the same thing with Casper Ruud. We don't talk about him and he's in semis and finals and he said, okay, yeah, let's you know, we need to count with him, you know, we need to do with him. And this year is the same thing. We are waiting for Sasha Zverev. We are saying, okay, we feel like he is another level, you know, he went up another level. He had tremendous challenges during the 2 weeks. He had to beat Rafael Nadal in the first round. He had some five-setter battles during the tournament. And he's in semi-final against Casper Ruud that we said, okay, he's one of the best. He's been one of the best players during the clay court season. We know that he loves that. But we're still thinking, okay, maybe that's Sasha's rarest moment.
What about this matchup as a matchup in terms of game styles?
We know that Casper Ruud has an amazing spin on the forehand side and also on the backhand side, to be honest, but it's more on the forehand side that he makes, you know, trouble with. So that's something that we're going to see today, definitely. And what we like about Sasha Zverev is that during the past 2-3 years, he improved and it changed some things in his game. He's playing a bit closer from his baseline. He's being more aggressive with the forehand. He's doing less mistakes with that shot as well, you know. Like before, when he had to create something with the forehand, on the forehand side, there was some mistakes. Sometimes he was getting in the net. And some players, they would say, okay, I can play short on his forehand and I know that I'm going to get some errors out of it. Now, what I've seen during the 2 weeks, I don't think that's the case anymore. So, of course, he also improved on the service side because before he was, you know, he was able to a lot of double faults. Now he has done a bit less. He's doing a better job. He has an amazing first serve. He's coming a bit more on the net. He's moving perfectly. The only thing is I don't know how he's going to handle the spin of Ruud's forehand.
It's intriguing. It's absolutely intriguing how this is. I do not expect it to be straight sets as it was this time last year. Absolutely not. And as I say, Casper Ruud is just quietly going about his business.
And very important thing, there are two amazing fighters. So they're both in their way. They have great behavior on the court. They're fighting until the last point. They run on every single balls. They're just great fighters, great runners. So that's going to be something.
Casper Ruud has got the most wins on tour this year, 39. He's got 9 losses and the most on clay, 21 and 4 defeats. And he's reached 5 finals and he's picked up the biggest title of his career, Barcelona, because it was the first one above 250 level, that being a 500. So that's locked at 2 apiece. It's not before 5:30. I'm not sure they'll need the not before because I have a feeling we've got plenty of tennis in Jannik Sinner against Carlos Alcaraz. 4 apiece. They met in the Indian Wells semi-final this year. Alcaraz came from a set down to win. They've met once on clay in 2022 and Umag Sinner won that. They met once at a Grand Slam in 2022 and Jannik Sinner would win that. What's fascinating about this, and I was looking at some pieces being done on it, is yes, they take up a very aggressive court position, but it is who can get round the backhand side, who can get onto that inside out forehand to try and take the advantage in the points.
Again, this first match is just, it's going to be a battle. I think the balls are going to be hurting, you know, like they, because those two players, they hit the ball so hard on both sides. And I mean, there is one thing you were saying, the way they both try to go around their backhand and hit their forehand. We have one thing with Carlos Alcaraz is that we had, a question mark on his forearm. He's getting better. He looks like there's no problem at all now. And also, Carlos Alcaraz has, for me, in my opinion, one of the best inside-in forehand. Yeah, of course, he has a good inside-out. He hurts the player on the backhand side. But when he makes the difference, he's able to do to go down the line, you know, with this inside-in that is just amazing. And also, he has this amazing drop shot, the ability to hit drop shots and to mask them very well until the last moment, until the last second. You think that he's going to hit the ball very hard and he's going to put his hand under the ball and do an amazing drop shot. So he has this weapon's a bit more better than Sinner on the court, but Sinner is playing the tennis of his life right now. We are also, no, we don't have any more concern about his hip. So, again, an amazing fight to come.
It's been described as video game tennis when these two go at it. They raise each other's level. They bring out the very best in each other. They're very good friends off the court. You'll often see them in the tunnel having a little chat and a smile before they're actually brought out. A lovely shot there of Jasmine Paolini just greeting Jannik Sinner. Paolini into the final faces Iga Świątek tomorrow. And Jannik Sinner knows that on Monday when the rankings come out, and it's not just because Djokovic withdrew and the points fell off, he has more than earned his right to take his place at the top of the rankings for Monday.
Yeah, I mean, he's the Australian Open champion. He's in semi-finals right now. He's doing an amazing job with his team. He's always improving. Also, great character. I mean, as the balls are coming on the court, Philippe Châtrier, so the excitement is improving as well. But yeah, I was talking about Sinner and the way he's been able to put himself at the number one position in ranking. He just 100% deserves it.
33 wins and just the 2 defeats for Jannik Sinner this year, to Alcaraz semi-finals at Indian Wells, to Tsitsipas semi-finals at Monte Carlo, and then he obviously withdrew in Madrid before he was due to face Felix Auger-Aliassime due to the right hip that we spoke of. It led to him missing Rome, which he said was a very difficult thing for him to do, being an Italian in Rome. We've now got a shot of the corridor under Philippe Châtrier, and Carlos Alcaraz on his own. He's said goodbye to the team. Now, he's going to be brought out first as the lower ranked. Don't want to call him a lower ranked player.
Yeah, no. The
lower ranked of the two. I mean, it has to be said. He's now bouncing up and down. He's got that sleeve, the white sleeve on his right arm. That's what I love. There's a little handshake between the two as Jannik Sinner makes his way out.
We love that. Both players, they know that they're about to do an amazing fight. They're both moving, you know, on their feet. They're trying to stay warmed up. It's just amazing. I mean, the tension in that corridor, when they know that thereabout in 5 minutes to enter this court to have this amazing battle. They know that they're not gonna, you know, like give 1 centimeter away to their opponent. They're gonna fight. They're gonna hit the ball very hard. They're gonna just, I mean, it doesn't get any better.
No, it really doesn't. The music will come to an end, and that is when Carlos Alcaraz will be beckoned to start his journey up the stairs. Some high knees being done by Jannik Sinner, the bags being put on the shoulders of Carlos Alcaraz. Remembering he is just 21 years of age, and he's looking for a third Grand Slam final. He's 2-0 in those finals, winning in New York at Flushing Meadows in 2022, and then Wimbledon last summer. This year, he's 22-5 for the year. He's 9-3 on the clay. It's only his 7th event of the year due to a little bit of injury and taking time out with the arm, but here he is being welcomed onto court.
Sur le court n'a que 21 ans. Il est numéro 3 mondial. Il a déjà remporté 2 titres en Grand Chelem. Il est espagnol, Carlos Alcaraz.
A wonderful reception, as you'd expect, for the young man. Doesn't have that trademark smile on the face, but lovely to see the little mascot with him. She had a beaming smile, and she had the job of escorting the Spaniard out onto court. Now, Jannik Sinner, he will be the new world number one. He'll be the 29th player to be number one on Monday, looking for his 2nd Grand Slam final. He's 12-0 in Grand Slam play this year, but can he reach his 1st Roland Garros final?
Cette année, l'Italien Jannik Sinner.
There's an Italian flag I can see down below me being waved. I mean, what a tournament they're having. Vavasori and Bellelli are in the men's doubles final. Errani and Paolini are still in the semi-finals, the women's doubles. Paolini's in the singles final. Jannik Sinner is in the semi-finals looking for his place. He'll be number one on Monday. There's a couple of juniors going great guns as well. It's a phenomenal time for Italian tennis.
We need to get inspired by the Italian tennis, what they've been doing. A lot, they have a lot. There are many reasons, of course, for this success, but amazing, of course, the tennis culture. And also, they have so many professional tournaments, you know, all year long. Futures, challengers, ITFs for women. And I mean, you play a lot of those tournaments, you have a lot of tournaments to play like this. That's how you improve, that's how you develop the tennis. And just a great job by the Italian Federation. And it's not a, I mean, it's not a surprise that they're having so much success.
Right, let's have a listen into the housekeeping.
Okay, guys, so we have Bastian and Zoe. They're going to help us with the
Bastian
coin.
And Zoe.
Can we please take a photo first over to that side, the four of you? Thank you. So for the match, 5 tiebreak sets, 6 ball, 7 9 ball change. I call the net. 25 seconds between points for the ball marks. If I have a doubt, I'll be going myself anyway, but obviously feel free to call me if you want me to check anything. And for your towels, Carlos, you have the orange towel, so please use the orange box. And Jannik, you have the blue, use the blue. Any questions before we start? No? Chi va a scegliere?
Oh,
attento!
Oh, I got excited.
Ancora in fa. Carlos, we another, have player another or ball?
Player.
Vas-y. It's ball.
Receive.
You receive.
There we go.
Okay.
I love that, how excited they got at that. Okay, so the decisions have been made. Sinner wins the toss. Lex Chu receive. And before the match begins, the warm-up will take place. And we're going to hear from both men involved this afternoon, starting with the Italian, Jannik Sinner.
Jannik, well done. Obviously not the way you wanted with Novak withdrawing from the tournament, and you still have to finish the event yourself. But how did you react to the fact that you will be number one in the PIF ATP rankings on Monday?
Yeah, it means a lot to me, for sure. It's not the way we all were expecting, actually. We had 2 very long matches, tough matches, 5 sets, so it's tough. The first one, he finished really late also. And, you know, it's tough also for the tournament, you know, and Novak retiring, it's it's always tough. Talking about myself, I am very happy about this achievement. You know, it's a lot of work we put in daily. You know, it's a daily routine, and you know, obviously happy to have this number. But you know, in 2 days there is a very important match in for me, the semifinals. So I'm focused about that at the moment. And but yes, of course, very happy to have this number now.
Yannick, Italy have had some great players over the years, some Grand Slam champions. But what does it mean to you as an Italian to be the first Italian number one?
Oh, it means a lot. But I think it's great for Italy. No, we are. Great country with, you know, great coaches and players, and we can see this now, how this moment is. I'm happy to be part of this Italian movement. You know, people, they start to play tennis now more and more, which is great to see. I think that's the most important. And if someone is number one or number two or number 10, it's you know, this everyone is trying their best, and we have a lot of tournaments. We have junior tournaments, then futures and challengers, and we have great tournaments, ATP tournaments. We have the ATP finals in Turin and Rome, and we had the next gen in Milan. So you know, it's great to see this movement in Italy, and I think Italy deserves it, no? Because it's a great country. We have everything, and. So it's good to be part of this movement.
Well, first of all, I'm really, really happy to be back in the semifinal here in Roland Garros. It's always special being able to play a semifinal in a Grand Slam. I'm really, really excited to play on Friday against Jannik again. Really difficult challenge. I'm ready for that, and hopefully everyone. I'm going to enjoy that match as much as I'm going to do it.
Looking ahead to playing Jannik, what would you say is the hardest part of playing against him? And what do you enjoy the most about your matches with Jannik?
Well, you have to run like it is in a marathon, you know, side to side. I think he has no nothing bad. Everything he does it perfectly. The way that he hit the ball is unbelievable. The way he moves is really, really well. You know, he pulls you to the limit in every ball, in every point. I think it is the hardest thing to face Jannik, but at the same time, I love that. I love this kind of matches. I love this kind of challenge, you know, to have a really difficult battle against him. The previous matches that we've played, I think it was like that, and I love that. I love that to find solutions, to find a way to beat him. The way that I did in Indian Wells, for example, that 6-1 in the first set, and then I found a way to make him in trouble. I think those situations is great for the tennis to try to, you know, find the right ways, say.
He'll be looking to find the right way today, and the timing is perfect because both players heading to their towel box at the back of the court, the far end underneath the presidential tribune. Alcaraz is distributing his white towels closest to our commentary box as we look down from the fifth floor. Jannik Sinner prowling around the back. He won the toss, he elected to receive. Who will be the first to book their place in Sunday's final? First time since 2004 we haven't had a member of the Big Three in the Final Four. For those on Kurecha watch, Alex Kurecha has just had a little wave. He's next door, he's alongside us. So everyone is in position. Back through the middle of the court, the backhand cross court, double handed backhand from Sinner. Sinner with a backhand down the line, and he nets. And do get in touch with us. Who do you think is going to win? I've gone Alcaraz. Antoine's gone Yannick Sinner.
Yeah, because I put him too cold away, so I have to go with Yannick.
You can't change.
Yeah, I can't.
I've gone for Alcaraz in straight sets. I don't know what's come over me.
Yeah.
At @radio_RG, French Open Radio, FFT.fr. And if you followed our predictions, you'll know that Casper Ruud will win the second semi-final. Otherwise, all my guesses are out. Backhand down the line from Alcaraz, a looping ball that just nudges inside the baseline from Sinner. The forehand cross court inside the service box. A heavy forehand from Sinner. Has to scamper back. He's under the overhead. He smashes down the backhand. Stays in play from Alcaraz. Cross court and deep goes Sinner. He'll switch around. Goes inside out forehand. Back behind Alcaraz. And he wins the point. His first point of the semi-final. 15-all.
Amazingly done by... I say a lot amazing, you're right, Gigi. I'm sorry, I'm so excited. I'm going to try to change.
Never change,
very
Antoine.
Well played.
Don't
by
change.
Yannick Sinner. Has he maneuver, you know, Carlos Alcaraz and the 15-all. That's something I didn't say in the pre-match, is that I think Carlos Alcaraz has a better defensive game, you know, today, so that's going to be also a key. Even though on this point, as Yannick Sinner has been able to counter-attack and to pass Carlos Alcaraz with a cross-court backhand. 15-30.
A result of a final to bring you, Maximilian Tauscher, the top seed in the wheelchair boys singles, has been crowned champion. He beat Ivar van Riet, the second seed, 2-6, 6-4. He was a breakdown in the second set, 7-6 in the tiebreak. So congratulations to him. One of four finals that we have today. 15-30, second serve. The stretch of the backhand clips the top of the net. Back Sinner's own side. He sort of looks skywards and then resets at 30-all. I think both players are going to get an awful lot of support. Sometimes it's more one than the other, but I think this is going to be quite an equal split.
Yeah, I was about to say, who do you think has the big crowd of that? Maybe... Alcaraz has the ability to, you know, to get the crowd behind him.
Yeah, he'll show you more emotional. He'll give you that big beaming smile as he weaves his way forward and finishes it, placing the forehand down the line for game point. He has that way of engaging the crowd. As we always say, that smile on his face, he looks like he's enjoying himself so much.
Ben Stiller is in the place. He loves tennis.
Back. Who's he supporting, do we know?
We don't know.
Game point. Sinner leans forward, twisting the racket again and again and again, and Alcaraz reaches up and serves out wide. The backhand slam cross court inside in. There's the inside in that Antoine was talking about, but he follows up, skips midcourt, kind of no man's land Alcaraz, and nets on the forehand line.
Yeah, that forehand stayed a little bit, you know, in his racket. Was an old mistake, maybe a bit of tension on that last forehand.
Mariana says, "Dearest Gigi and Antoine, winner today, Sinner, Forza, from a very hot 33 degrees Celsius but sunny Corfu."
Yeah, Mariana has been following us whole 2 weeks, so hi to her again.
Ace. She's also our Greek correspondent. She was in charge of translating conversations between Apostolos and Stephanos.
Okay. Interesting talks, I bet.
Susan says, "Hello from Urbana, Virginia." Game point. Alcaraz serves out wide. The backhand cross court to the feet and the inside out forehand. Very deep from Alcaraz. Short ball from Sinner. Drop shot from Alcaraz. We didn't even talk about the drop shot pre-match. Down the line from Sinner. What a get from the Italian. Reached down the line. Switched his body. Stayed in the net. Volleys cross court. Gets the winner.
And there are no round of observations and between the two players. They're just going at it right away, right from the beginning. They show each other that they're both ready to fight. Mira Andreeva is also...
Oh, yes, with her mum. Look at that, watching on. Serve out wide. So good deep serve from Alcaraz. Drops the follow-up into the mid-court. The backhand cross-court from Sinner. And a miss hit from Alcaraz. Shoots up skywards. And we have our first break point of this semi-final.
Yeah. he was a little bit on the back foot on that last back end, Carlos Alcaraz. That's why he missed, in my opinion. And as we see a shot as of Sinner, very focused for that first break point.
Serve out wide. Alcaraz takes his time, goes inside out with the forward, plays double handed backhand the Spaniard, the double handed for the Italian. They're going cross court. They're thumping it cross court. That's exactly what they're doing. It's break point for Sinner. More into the middle of the court from the Italian. The forehand whipped into the corner. The squash shot from the Italian sits a little bit short. The forehand is netted by Carlos Alcaraz from inside the baseline. And first blood goes the way of the man who will be the new world number one on Monday. Sinner breaks for one love.
Second mistake on the forehand side in a very aggressive and positive position for Carlos Alcaraz as this forehand stayed in the net, the second one of the game. And that we know that Yannick Sinner doesn't need much to get the break, so that's shame for Carlos Alcaraz because he really had the opportunity to make that point. Francesca Schiavone is in the house. I mean, we're going to see a lot of, you know, legends and people. They know that we are witnessing maybe the two new bosses of world tennis right now.
Francesca Schiavone alongside Mansour Bahrami in the legends. Earlier today, lost to Daniela Handzukova and Guy Forget in a tight match. But Susan from Virginia says, I'm happy to hear that Antoine has survived the incident with the strawberries. And I look forward to hearing the wonderful play-by-play. I can confirm he has survived. Sinner, they've switched ends. Anne says, hello from Indianapolis, Indiana, where I'm introducing my 94-year-old mum to your coverage. She's a huge tennis fan and has been to Roland Garros in the past. Anne, you need to send the name of your mum to us. Forehand has rolled through the middle of the court. Cross-court forehand into the corner from Sinner, but big hello to your mum. Backhand is lofted long by the Spaniard. Kate's listening from her daughter's house in Arkansas. And Brianna says that it's wild that I'm predicting Alcaraz will beat Sinner in straight sets. I think I'm on day 13. My pick is playing later. I've gone out there because I'm so bad with predictions as Sinner aces out wide for 30 love. Sometimes you've just got to put it out there and be wrong.
But it's brave, I mean. I didn't say the number of sets. I'm thinking Sinner, and I said four sets. That was off air. I have to say it on air.
Okay.
So here we are. We have both
cards on the table.
Yeah.
Right. Love that. 30 love. One love. Sinner looking to back up his early break. It's a big, big serve from the Italian. Brings up game points.
Yeah. It was a great return, a great attempt from Alcaraz, but just missed by a few centimeters behind the baseline. After a great white serve, for Sinner, wearing this typical clayish top with grey hat and grey shorts.
Serve out. Well, let's not start the colour debate because it's probably going to be called blue. The sliding backhand down the line winner. He holds to love. He consolidates love. The Italian off to the perfect start. He leads by two games to love.
You see blue, okay.
Well, no, I don't. But we had this. What colour? Okay, what colour is Carlos Alcaraz
wearing? For me, it's a dark grey.
Exactly, for me too. But apparently on the official website, it's blue.
Blue. Okay.
But for me, like you, I think that's like a slate grey.
Yeah. So that would be, and of course, yellow shorts. And
well, definitely yellow shorts.
Yeah.
100%. They can't call that anything but yellow. No.
Or you're colorblind.
Yeah, yeah. Then you've got other things to deal with. So Carlos Alcaraz looking to get on the board with a game. He's loved two and he serves out wide. It's flat forehand back. The stretch in the backhand bunted cross court from Sinner. Backhand down the line from Alcaraz. Amazing defense this from Sinner. Goes backhand through the middle of the court. The forehand lofted deep, sits up. Alcaraz with the forehand. You can hear him as he hits it. Drops that one short. A slight miss hit from Sinner but finds the line. Sinner was about to unleash and unload on the inside out forehand but he nets and it's 15 love.
Yeah, he was in a great position to punish Carlos Alcaraz, but he missed in the net. And I have to say, he hit two amazing forehands, very deep. He was on the, he was not on, you know, on the, on a very good position during the point, and because of those two forehands, he was able to be in that position. But 15 love for Carlos Alcaraz.
10 minutes on the clock. Alcaraz serves out wide, jumps in the air and hits the backhand inside in from Alcaraz. The squash shot from Sinner. Alcaraz inside the baseline, unleashes with his forehand, but Sinner then pushes the Spaniard back, who draws the error off the backhand, leaning backwards.
Yeah.
The defense like, so far from Sinner. He's everywhere.
Moving very well. And we can tell on the foreign side when Alcaraz has to, you know, like to punish or to go hard. The two mistakes that he did in the first game, I you know, it's a little bit in his head, you know, like you can tell that he's not 100% on that side right now.
First serve thundered into the net. So he goes and retrieves that ball. He has two. He discards one. He has the other one that he had in his pocket that is fine for him to use. Sinner steps up to the baseline, twisting the racket. 15 all, love two. Serve down the tee. The backhand is short and it's backhand cross court. He punishes the Italian and he edges ahead on the scoreboard in this game, game number three.
Yeah, that would be a very important thing for Carlos Alcaraz to get on the board. He didn't start, you know, poorly that match. He's playing well, but just Sinner's not making any mistake, and he did a couple mistakes. That's just the difference on why he's a breakdown.
30-15, served down the tee, snatched back. How does he find the court, Sinner? Backhand cross court from the Italian. All the work is being done by Carlos Alcaraz, who spins that backhand, sits up. Oh, my word. I cannot express how hard Jannik Sinner just hit that inside-out forehand.
It was like maybe a meter behind the baseline. Mm-hmm. Alcaraz plays this great spin backhand with some height above the net, great depth. And Sinner went around his back end and just hammered that forehand inside out.
Wow.
And pushed Carlos Alcaraz to the fault. 30 all.
I might be changing it to Sinner in straight sets at this rate. 30 all. Alcaraz serves out wide, slap back to his feet. The Spaniard drops it mid-court, up the line, cross-court and deep from Sinner. Sinner with his double-handed backhand, places it, gets it, side edge of the sideline. He has a point now for three love and a double break with 12 minutes played.
It's just the perfect start for Jannik Sinner. He doesn't miss anything, makes the perfect choices, makes the perfect execution of the shots. I mean, that backhand down the line, that hits the line. Amazing. Once again, 30-40.
Yes, this is stunning stuff from Sinner. Alcaraz with a break point to defend at 30-40. Serves center of the box. Went into the body. Sinner gets it back. It's lofted long from Alcaraz, who's looking up in a quite a perplexed fashion at his box because he's not quite sure what's going wrong. What's going right for Sinner is absolutely everything. And he breaks for the double break and a three love lead.
And has Carlos Alcaraz looked over his box, you know, a little bit worried. And it was funny to see that Jannik Sinner looks at him at the same moment, you know, getting some information. And he saw that Alcaraz, you know, looked over his, to his box saying, well, what is the solution right now? Because I don't have anything. So that's going to help and to tell Jannik Sinner that he needs to keep doing what he's doing right now, as the goal Philippe Chatrier is almost fully packed.
All the people who are thinking, you know, I'll give it a few minutes and we'll go in, I think they must have seen a scoreboard outside, thought, hang on a second, it's three love in 12 minutes, and they are pouring into Philippe Chatrier now.
As the lunches have finished in the VIP areas, you know.
I should hope so at 2:55. I know you have a nice long lunch tradition out here, Antoine, but come on, 3 o'clock, men's semi-final day.
Yeah, I know.
I'd have been in my seat from about midday.
They should start earlier. But, you know, they enjoy their rosé, their champagne, you know.
Well, we enjoyed that at dinner last night. We raised a glass to you at our dinner last night, Antoine.
Thank you. I was ashamed. I was not able to be here.
A little team glass.
As Sophie was not happy about it, I know.
No, she sent Antoine a little voice note asking why I was not there. And we did present Chris with a piece of the bread, a piece of the loaf of bread. The wonderful lady at the restaurant, when she bought his starter, she bought a plate with some of the bread on it. And he ate it.
Nice.
And now it's about 2 weeks old. Yannick Sinner at 3-love, 15-love, serving towards the presidential tribune. 15 minutes on the clock, serves down the tee. Alcaraz is a long way back, and he nets, and it's 30-love.
He's like, we know that he's far behind his baseline on the return, as we see Paul-Henri Mathieu in, on the TV screen. And yeah, Carlos Alcaraz is like, 4 or 5 meters behind the baseline to start the return. 30 love Sinner. Serve down the tee. And yeah, a bit too far, Carlos Alcaraz. It's very hard to make that back and return. He found the middle of the net. 40 love.
And a penetrating serve from Sinner, yet to drop a point on serve. He is looking for a clean sweep of the first four games. Inside 16 minutes with no points against the serve. There's a point here to do just that. Serves into the body. He's done it. Great body serve. Alcaraz, nothing he could do about that. And 16 minutes played. 4-love. No points against the Sinner serve. I mean, the man has been like a machine since he stepped out here. Incredible stuff from Jannik Sinner. But best of five sets. There is still an awfully long way to go.
And we know that Carlos Alcaraz is not the type of guy that goes away. Yeah, and the crowd knows it, and they push him, and it's just amazing. Once again, we love that atmosphere here in the Court Philippe Chatrier. We have the typical white hats. You know that they're out, it's sunny day.
Better than the blankets from week one. Backhand cross court from Sinner. Sinner with his backhand down the line. Alcaraz spins the cross court forehand, pushes it very deep, and into the corner he goes. Gets a mid court ball, goes back to the squash shot from Sinner. Ball sits off Alcaraz. He's trying to put it away. It comes back with some venom off the squash shot from Sinner, who goes flat backhand cross court. A lofted spinny backhand from Alcaraz. Alcaraz flattens out the backhand to the inside in from Sinner. These are like rockets.
A rocket, like. Inside it, forehand, rocket, very deep on the forehand side of Alcaraz. Alcaraz doesn't have time to, you know, to hit a spin forehand. He has to slice it, and he finds the tape of the net. Perfectly played by Sinner. We can tell that Alcaraz is trying to put some variations and some more height in his shots, you know. But there's one thing that he's not doing drop shots, you know. He's keeping Sinner on the baseline, and we know that Sinner loves that position.
Rare unforced error.
Yeah.
Off the service return, and Alcaraz points to the mark just to confirm it was the right call, and there's a lot of trust and friendship
of course
here.
A lot of respect.
Sinner, very machine-like, he strides to his towel, he comes back, he gets himself into position, he's bouncing on his toes, wide stance, twisting the racket, swaying the upper body. Now he'll take a jump forward, but the serve has missed. Now he'll come even closer to the baseline to put a little bit more pressure on the Spaniard's second serve. The Italian is inside the baseline, plays the off backhand, forehand up the line, and Sinner is there with the backhand cross court to the service line. Cross court to cross court with the backhand they go, redirected up the line, forehand slapped cross court from Sinner. Then he goes down the line. The forehand of Sinner today is ridiculous, but it's the backhand that he gets the error off from the Italian, and it's 30-15.
And we get the first vamos from Carlos. As Tiffany got in touch with us. She said, be careful when you tell Darren Cahill your dreams, they'll make them come true. What a coach. You're definitely right, Tiffany. He's just one of the best, if not the best, right now.
And we have to say that there's two coaches. There's his Italian coach, Simone Vaccheroni, that they're working. And he said the great thing is that they work so well together as a team. They're both very laid back. Down the line goes Sinner, who switches around, goes inside out the forehand, the drop's a bit short. Lots of spin on that ball, a heavy forehand that comes down from Sinner. Sinner with the forehand, drops that one mid-court forehand, down the line. The first time Alcaraz has been able and in a position to unload, and unload he does.
Yeah, he did. he did on that last one. That was the his best forehand so far in this match. As we saw his arm, you know, when he went through the ball. Great execution from Carlos, and another fist bump for him, looking to his box. Much more positive attitude right now for Carlos. The crowd helped him. Good white serve, yeah.
He got lucky. That forehand return didn't miss by much. But Carlos Alcaraz has got himself on the board. So 20 minutes played, 4-1 and a double break, Jannik Sinner. Jasmine Paolini's on court. Court Simone Mathieu.